Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the beginning of the gospel reading from Luke chapter 16. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores." This is our text. Before we dive deeper into the gospel reading, I'd like you to consider for a minute what St. Paul wrote to young Pastor Timothy, as we heard in our second reading. He said, "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment." Not just godliness alone, but godliness with contentment. "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." St. Paul is pretty blunt in those words, but to the point. You can't take it with you, any of it. When we leave this life, all our stuff stays behind. And all the wealth, everything we've accumulated and piled up, it profits nothing in the life of the world to come. I wonder how we hear these words. We brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. For some, it may be a sobering thought. Consider how much time, how much energy, how much of our thought we put into our wealth. How to get it, how to keep it. Our identity has become a little too tied up with what we have and how we live. So for some, it may hit close to home. Now, maybe others of you, when you heard those words, the fact that we're going to leave it all behind, maybe that feels freeing to you. Maybe you're overwhelmed by what you have. Maybe you're in the process of a transition in your life. Maybe you feel like your stuff owns you more than you own it. So you hear these words of St. Paul and you feel a sense of relief at the thought that a day will come when you don't have to deal with it anymore. You don't have to take it with you. But then again, maybe we're not sure what to do with St. Paul's words, because here we are, we've already come into the world with nothing, and one day we'll be headed out of the world with nothing, but right now we're in the world. And God willing, we'll be here for a little while. So we're in the world where wealth and stuff can be pretty handy. We don't really need to know, what we need to know isn't really about the beginning or the ending, but the in-between, where we live now. What should we do? How do we live now in light of how we began and how we will end and eternity? Keep that in mind now as we turn to the gospel reading. And here in this story that Jesus tells, we don't know if it's a real story or more of a parable. He doesn't tell us. But here we meet two men. The first man is a man who is rich. He's clothed in purple and fine linen, and every single day he feasted sumptuously. So I was thinking about that this week. It struck me that feasting every day sumptuously sounds pretty awesome, but there's one day where our feast sort of waits, that we might feast on the things that God has for us. And I began to wonder whether this man feasting every day sumptuously didn't also feast very sumptuously on Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, or on Sunday morning, the Christian gathering, to the exclusion of feasting on God's word. It's also striking that this rich man isn't given a name. So we'll just call him Rich Man. It's odd that we don't know his name, because if I were to ask you for the names of rich people in our world today, I'm sure you could name a half dozen pretty easily. If I asked you for the names of those who are poor, you might not have quite an easy time. But this man seems to be so wrapped up in his riches that no one even remembers his name. They just remember how he feasted and how wealthy he was. And yet, he doesn't strike me as being a terrible guy. It's not like he'd murdered anyone or stolen anything or taken another man's wife. On the whole, he was probably a pretty decent fellow. Maybe a good neighbor most of the time, well respected in his community. He had a few faults, I'm sure, but who doesn't? So he had a taste for the most expensive clothes, and he feasted on the most extravagant food, and he had the money for it. That may not sound like an especially great sin. And he did it every single day. Eat, drink, and be merry, and dress like it. Isn't that the life? Until you see the other man who actually is right there sitting outside of the rich man's gates, a poor man who had to be laid there. His name we know. It's Lazarus. And unlike the rich man who's covered in the finest clothing, Lazarus is covered with sores. Instead of feasting sumptuously at the table every single day, he simply desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. The scraps, the leftovers. You know, what you got on the plate when you're finished eating, or what you had to cut off in order to prepare the food that you're going to eat. And that poor man was noticed, it seems, by no one except the dogs who would come over and lick his sores. Whether that was a blessing or more of a punishment, I don't know. No one envies this poor man and his open wounds. We hear about the rich man and we think that would be the life. And if the rich man didn't handle his riches and wealth well, I bet I could do a better job. But this poor man, we don't envy him at all. No one would want to trade places with him. We pity him. We might throw him some scraps or drop a few coins in his coffee cup if we're feeling generous, but none of us would trade places with him for a day. Even the dogs have compassion on Lazarus. But we certainly wouldn't look at Lazarus and say, "There is a man blessed by God." Instead, we may wonder what he did to deserve it, and we may pray that we never end up like poor Lazarus. That's the human view of these two, the rich man and Lazarus. This is how they appear to the world. This is how they appear often to us. Wouldn't it be great if my life were more like that of the rich man than Lazarus? But that's only the beginning of the story. The poor man died, which is probably not surprising given his condition and perhaps is a mercy, and he was carried by the angels to Abram's bosom. We don't know what his community did with his body. Was he buried in a pauper's grave, or was he just thrown into the city's dump like trash? We're not told, but what we do know is that the angels were paying attention. And God sent them to gather Lazarus and bring him home. And it turns out that what looked like a very poor man here on earth turns out to be very different in the life of the world to come. Poor Lazarus isn't so poor anymore. In fact, when we meet him now, after his death, we meet him with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. Among all those who are streaming in from the east and the west and the north and the south to the heavenly feast. The man who had nothing here is given everything there. No more thirst, no more hunger for Lazarus, no more tears, no more pain. Truly the former things have passed away. And he who was a beggar in this life is a prince in death. A reminder to us that all of the things of this life are brief. And even if we are dealing with some poverty or struggle or trial, that will not last forever. For there is one who sees us. There is one who watches over us. And when our last hour comes, he will send his holy angels to gather us home. What about the rich man? Now, the rich man died and was buried. A reminder that death comes to all people, even to rich ones, because there are some things money can't buy. I have no doubt that this man had a nice funeral, a long obituary printed perhaps in that day's Boston Globe, and some glowing eulogies. He was probably laid to rest in his finest purple and linen, and his tombstone, no doubt, was as rich and sumptuous as his life. But God's obituary for him is shorter. He died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And now you see how things are for this man. What looked like a life of envy, a life that we would all desire, to have everything you need here and no worries. He turns out to be the poorest man of all. For he did not have the one thing that mattered most: faith in Jesus Christ, in God's promises, and the hope of the life of the world to come. So there's the rich man in Hades in torment, and he lifts up his eyes and he sees Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And it seems like he does what he did in this life. He begins to issue commands. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that in your lifetime you received many good things. Or perhaps you could say, remember what you trusted in during your life. And Lazarus, in like manner, had bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all that, a great chasm is fixed between us and you, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. It's really a sad, sad story. There is no relief for this man. The opportunity that he had to hear and believe and to use what God had given him for good in this life, he completely missed. Martin Luther says this in the Large Catechism about the first commandment: you shall have no other gods. He says there are some who think that they have God and everything they need when they have money and property. I'm going to read that again. There are some who think that they have God and have everything they need when they have money and property. They trust in them and boast in them so stubbornly and securely that they care for no one else. They too have a God, Mammon by name, which is money and property on which they set their whole heart. This is the most common idol on earth. That's what Luther says. And notice, it's not just that they have wealth or property, but that they care for no one else. That's what this rich man did and had. Now, when we speak about the rich and the poor, we ought to be clear that riches are not only a danger for the rich, riches are a danger for the poor as well. And I say that for this reason. Those who are rich may think that they have everything and need no God and care for no one else, while those who are poor may set all of their hopes and heart on riches, as if having riches and wealth would be all they need, even to the exclusion of God. This week is a real contrast with last Sunday, the feast of St. Matthew. You may recall that St. Matthew was a tax collector, a wealthy man who was called by Jesus to follow him. And Matthew, unlike the rich man in today's parable, Matthew left his tax collecting He left his wealth and his riches, and he lived a life of following Jesus. The story goes on here. It's interesting that we have this account or this story of this conversation between the rich man in Hades and Abraham in heaven. The rich man goes on. He says, after he cannot get a cup of water to still his thirst, then I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. They have Moses and the prophets. And if they will not believe what they have in God's word, then they wouldn't believe anything else either, including a man coming back from the dead. We know this for a fact, actually, from the Gospels. First of all, with another man named Lazarus, who on the fourth day that his body was in the grave was called out to life again, not to live forever, but back into this life. You might remember what the Jewish leaders wanted to do with him. They didn't call this Lazarus up and say, hey, will you tell us about it? And how do we avoid going into perdition? They actually wanted to put him to death again because he was a testimony to the power of God in Jesus Christ. But even greater than that, Lazarus is the one who came back from the dead, never to die again. Our Lord Jesus Christ. We have Moses and the prophets and the apostles and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us listen to them. Let us set our heart, our mind, and our treasure not on the things of this world which are passing away, which we didn't bring into the world and we will not bring out of the world, but let us treasure the gift of our Lord and his word, which are of lasting and eternal value. And let us use the gifts that we've been given in this world. Let us use the wealth and the possessions that we have to honor our God, to serve our neighbor, and yes, to care for the poor. As you go through life, keep your eyes open for the poor Lazaruses lying at the gates, for those who have suffered oppression, for those who have received not the better end of this life, but the worse end of this life. And seek to use what God has placed into your hands to care for them. That's the first application, and there are two more, these from 1 Timothy again. St. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. I suspect that you're like me and you say, if we have food and clothing and whatever it is, we will be content. But your Father in heaven has provided what you need. He gives you your daily bread. He provides you with your clothing. To desire and seek after more in an unhealthy and ungodly way will lead us not only to trials and trouble in this world, but has the potential as well to pull us out of the salvation that we have in Christ. St. Paul warns, it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. And then finally, then what are we to do? And this is what St. Paul says, flee these things, but pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. And take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, which Christ Jesus has won for you and made known to you by coming back from the dead. Enjoy the riches that you have in Christ, the forgiveness that he pours out freely and fully week after week, and the promises that are yours in him, so that when the last day comes, you can say with Timothy and with Paul, and with poor Lazarus who died, and also with the prophet Job. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who has given us all things in Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.